Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, America, and good morning, world. Excuse me. Good morning, America, and good morning, world. I hope everybody is well and blessed, doing the best they can in their current situation. Change is coming. Change is happening right now before our eyes. We don't know, a lot of people, or most people don't know really how to interpret the change that's taking place. But I'm excited. I'm encouraged. It's some great things is happening in this country, the great United States of America. There's some great things happening around the world, even as I speak. It's an amazing transformation that is taking place right now. And it's just so clever and just so amazing. You know, how they're manipulating and creating this change in the world right now. Like I say, even as I speak, it's mind-boggling, mind-blowing, you know, how they are able to manipulate things right before our eyes. It kind of reminds you of the Wizard of Oz. You know, you got all these things going on outside in the world and different things like that, and you got this guy, you know, this older gentleman, real funny guy, you know, behind the curtain and, you know, pulling all the strings and all the levers and different things like that to create all these different things, you know, for lack of a better term, you know, out in society, out and throughout society. But the essence of that particular message or that particular show is the manipulation behind the curtain, and that's certainly what's happening here and right now. Again, today is February the 29th. I believe it is the leap year, and of the year 2016. I think I had to make a correction. I think I said 2016 my last broadcast or something like that. We're not there, but, you know, 2016, like I said, I was very tired then, and I spoke incorrectly, but 2016 is the year that we're in, and, of course, that is starting from zero A.D. and moving forward after the death of the Christ, or Yeshua. And moving forward, 2016 years. I also want to kind of clear up something else. The reason I made that last broadcast, the ending of the last broadcast about Jesus and Yeshua, is simply because, and I may not have explained it clearly, but in Bibles prior to 1971, there were pictures in the Bible of Greek deities, if you will, or people, or what they depicted as, you know, some of the people, you know, well, all the people that they talked about in the Bible, you know, such as Noah and Moses and, you know, John and Jesus and all that kind of stuff. But the reason I pointed that out, you know, is that Apollonius is the person, the young Apollonius, is the person that they depicted as Jesus in the earlier scriptures and Bibles and things of that nature. If you look at early pictures of Apollonius, you'll see that figure, that facial depiction that ended up in the early Bibles and even, you know, move forward into the, like I say, to the early 70s. Of course, there's different variations. If you click on, you know, different images and a clip on the image tab, you'll see different, you know, variations of that individual. But that's who that person, you know, was at that particular early day and time. And if you read the pics and the clips on Apollonius, you'll see the similarities of his life compared to Jesus. And you'll come to know who Constantine in the 1300 or you know, scholars that were convened there at the Council of Nicaea put in that particular early writing or early doctrine, early scripture. Because if you, again, if you look in Revelation, there's a direct conflict or direct contrast, you know, looking at the picture, you know, of that individual, and then of course, reading the description, the physical description, you know, of that particular individual, of being the eyes of fire, hair of lamb's wool, white and like lamb's wool. Of course, that person on the opposing page there, you know, has straight hair, blue eyes, and porcelain skin. And then it goes on to read, feet look like it had been burnt, a fine brass that had been burnt in a furnace. There's nothing on that particular individual that would depict being burnt in that, on that particular picture. So we have a conflict there directly there in the Bible. You know, there's one truth and there's one untruth right there in that particular caption of that picture and the description, you see. So this is why it's important to, you know, unravel, you know, the truth, because this is what sets and makes us free, you see, as a human people. It's all about the healing, folks. That's what this broadcast is about. It's about the healing. It's about the truth, and it's about the healing of humanity and all the things that, you know, people have gone through and dealing under falsehoods and things of that nature. And I was talking to a person, you know, in discussion last week, and he was talking about, you know, the overlaying of slavery, and you know, how, you know, how is that justified? You know, and I said, well, in scripture, when Cain slew Abel, as the scripture goes, as the Bible reads, it says that, you know, that God commanded that, you know, Cain shall be a servant unto his brethren. And, you know, and furthermore to, you know, humanity or whatever, however they extend and misconstrue that. But certainly, you know, God, that is not God, that is not, you know, the spirit of God to mean that, you know, to overlay humanity or overlay a people. You know, now man does that, you know, man makes that, you know, that doctrine or that command or that commandment or whatever the case may be. But God certainly has nothing to do with that. You know, God is a fair God. God is a just, you know, God, and he loves all people, and certainly would not, you know, condemn someone to be a servant to anyone, you know, in this walk in life. Now, he has definitely broke the bonds, you know, of slavery and enslavement, as he did with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. And that was an actual and true occurrence. And God certainly, you know, broke that yoke there, dealing with Pharaoh. And again, like I told, and I went on to tell him, I said, you know, we shouldn't have bitterness, you know, in the transformation of slavery going forward, you know, into where we are today, because, you know, in order for there to be a children of Israel, a true chosen people of God, and by reading Leviticus, you know, 26 and Deuteronomy 28, and being scattered amongst the land we don't know, you know, there had to be a people that was scattered, you know, in order for this prophecy to be fulfilled, there had to be a people, you know, to fill these particular roles in this scripture. And at the end of the day, and as all things prevail, and scripture being, you know, unfolded, prophecies being fulfilled, you're looking at blessing for that particular people that were in enslaved and in captivity because they always throughout Scripture receive the blessing of God, you know, and the ultimate blessing, you know, being the chosen, you know, that's pretty amazing. Now, this is not me, you know, I'm just transferring information so that people can understand, you know, what actually transpired, you know, in prophecy. And the scattering was, you know, slavery, you know, being brought to a land we know not, as Leviticus harshly says, you know, to be scattered amongst the heathen. And this is in the Bible. You can go back and read Leviticus 26. Again, this is not me. I'm merely the messenger to you know, bring it so that people understand it. But when the African people were brought here in enslavement, and sold upon in slavery, we have, you know, this young buck, you know, 20 years old, 19 years old, 15 years old, you know, how much you give for him, $120 or $100 or whatever, you know, the cheap, you know, ridiculous price was for human enslavement. To go and work the fields and pick the cotton and all that kind of stuff, you know, they were like machines or like, you know, property, you know, like buying a tractor or something like that. But, you know, they were sold into slavery and they would be, you know, the auctioneer would say sold, you know, to gentlemen in Kentucky, you know, take them away. And then we have this young wench here, you know, she's, you know, 20 years of age and a young sucker, you know, which would be the baby. You know, the combined price of $150, you know, sold, you know, to the man in Virginia, you know, and take her away, you know, gone to Virginia, you know, gone to Kentucky, you know, gone to, you know, I mean, California, gone to Idaho, you know, gone to Nevada, gone to you know, Oklahoma, gone to, you know, South Carolina, North Carolina, you know, just different things like that. But that was the actual scattering, you see. That was the actual scattering of the children of Israel. They're right here in America. They're right here present before you today in America. The problem and the issue is that they have been, you know, read the scripture. It's all in there. You know, by here to worship, you know, other idols, you know, and different things like that, you know, none of which, you know, they worshiped in antiquity, you know, back in the days of the, you know, early African or the African people. They served, you know, one god. If you look at, you know, the Egyptian belief system, you know, that was some of the first, you know, widespread, you know, monolithic belief, you know, and where they, you know, believed in one God. Now, they had many different gods, which is a confounding and a confusion there. But they had one primary God. And you have to see the depth of what we have to unravel and what we have to, you know, put the pieces back together, you know, and what the mission and what the objective and the whole, you know, master thought of God himself, the creator, in scattering, you know, his people so wide and so far, is that so that people, you know, his children or the children of Israel can actually bring all mankind back to him, you know, back to God, you know. And that's what this message is all about. You know, that's what this broadcast is all about. You know, all mankind, you know, must be, you know, led back to God. You know, only one God. So, and that's another thing we have to, you know, we have to put away, you know, all these different, you know, false gods and gods in the way, you know, of the ultimate and supreme God or ultimate supreme Father. And when we can do that as a human race, as a human people, then we can come back to harmonious, being harmonious, you know, in harmony. With God. And see, this is the transformation that is taking place right now, you know, in the world, in the nation, in this great nation of the United States, but also in the world. It is a, you know, it took us 2016 years to get to this point or better. So it's going to take a long time to reverse, all of the confusion that we have undergone, you know, as a human race, as a human people. But it's systematic. It's an in-step. You can see it. I can see it playing out. You know, I have, like I say, been blessed to, you know, have that spirit, you know, and the intuitive spirit to walk with God, to understand, you know, how things are all, you know, necessary in the eyes of God, and, you know, to bring humanity to an understanding of where we have to go and become in, you know, in our intellect and our knowledge of God and our belief system, you know, of the ultimate creator. This is the thing that Yeshua always spoke about. You know, if you look at, you know, why he was condemned, it's because, he, you know, look at what laws did he break? You know, the only law that he broke is his belief in God. That's exactly why, you know, they put him to death. Now, he did kick over the tax table. I will, you know, I'll say that. And, you know, you really don't want to fool with people's money, you know, and especially, you know, powerful people's money and stuff like that. But the actual condemnation and the actual crucifixion, you know, of Yeshua was because of his belief in one God, you know, and God the Father. As he, if you look at how, you know, how he prayed and what he shared and what he talked about and what he taught, as he came as a teacher, you know, his mother called him Rabbi or Rabboni, and that simply means teacher. That's exactly his role and responsibility, and it was to bring mankind, you know, back to Father, back to God. You know, so again, you know, when we understand this in terms of, and all the way up to, you know, Chris Rock delivering a really nice, I don't know what you would call it, presentation, being the MC of the Academy, you know, Awards last night, where there's, you know, an alleged, you know, a boycotting or whatever because of race, you know, racism. And you know, in the Academy Awards, like he said, he called it the White People's Choice Awards, and that drew laughter from the crowd. And really, you know, when we look at, you know, where we are as a human race, as a human people, and how we got, you know, to this position or to this point, you know, we can understand and forgive. You know, not to, you know, we don't forget, but we can forgive. You know, because people were filling a role unknowingly. You know, they were actually fulfilling a role, fulfilling prophecy in all of this, you know, transformation and relocation, if you will, and, you know, with the scattering and things of that nature. But this is, and the reason that you can tell, and see, the thing about it is that, you know, a lot of people, and the way that we have been misled in society, you know, and through humanity, is a lot of people, most people believe that the Israel or the people of Israel are the Israelites, okay? But if you notice, they are not the Hebrew Israelite Jew. Now, they are Jewish people, okay, and they are Israeli people, but they are not the original Hebrew Israelite Jewish people. That's the big difference there, you know. They are descendants of Esau, and you can take the time to, you know, map this out if you want, you know, and of course the black people or the African people are descendants of Jacob, which received the name of Israel, the true name of Israel, and are the true Hebrew Israelite Jewish people. If you look at Old Testament or Old Bibles and things of that nature, you'll see that, you know, all of that land that the Israelites, you know, control now, used to, was Palestine, you know, and all that land belongs to the Palestinian people. Now they have been pushed by military might and weaponry and things of that nature, you know, to what they call the Gaza Strip. Imagine, you know, your people or any people being pushed to, you know, a small portion of your own land that God had laid out for you. And you know, to your back wall is water. You know, you can't be pushed any further. That's why they retaliate and fight. you know, all the time, you know, and it's an ongoing and never ending fight simply because, you know, they're placing, you know, in this, in that, you know, small area is unjust. It's and it's not certainly, you know, the will of God, but certainly the will of man and military and might, you know, that has pressed them or oppressed them into that, you know, small region. But just go back and look at the facts here. Just go back and look at the facts. You know, like I say, it's not me. You know, I'm a messenger, and I guess an educator, if you will, in this regard, and have been blessed and have been called to share this message. And it's certainly not a message of hate. It's a message of truth. And, you know, if we do this thing and when we do this thing in a right way, in a right manner, prophecy being fulfilled, if there's that talking about the 1,000 years of peace in Scripture, but it's, and that's after the healing process has been complete. What is the healing? The healing is knowledge and intellect and, you know, intelligence and knowing, you know, all these different truths. And once you understand the blessing and the prophecy on both sides of the oppressor and the oppressed, you can understand, you will be understanding in how we heal that. We know what it is. Now, how do we heal it? You know, looking at mankind in an equal light as all of God's children, you know, there's nothing more powerful and more what's the word I'm looking for? Prosperous than a people united, you know, than a human race united. And knowing these different things, you know. So, like I say, you know, here we are today. They're talking about, you know, even racism, like with Donald Trump today. You know, talking about him denouncing David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan, you know, and hate groups and such as that. You know, there's no attachment with God in that particular. You know, in that particular combination, if you will, simply because, you know, that's not the way he thinks. That's not the way, you know, God is. That's not the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of peace, love, harmony, joy, milk and honey. You can't have that type of conflict in that type of, you know, depiction. So, again, this is all a part of the healing process, even with people that hate, you know, a people. When they understand who the people are, you know, people asked me the other day, you know, why do you do this and why do you say all these things? I said, when you know, when humanity and humankind understands who the downtrodden truly is, you know, and the oppressed people who you know truly is, and their connection with God, you know, the Father and stuff, they have to look at them and have to look at us, you know, in a different light, in a different way. That, you know, like I said, you know, back in the, you know, Civil War days, that, you know, they believed that black people didn't even have souls, you know, and were just, like I said, merely property, you know. But when you understand, you know, the connection here, then, you know, you'll see how strong that is in the contraire, and, you know, in the opposite. If you're a true child of God, you know, and that's why it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. This is what this is all about. How do you become a peacemaker? Healing, knowledge, intellect, intelligence will resurrect and erect you as a child of God or a peacemaker, because you'll understand, you know, both sides and all sides of the argument, and why we are where we are, you know, in humanity today. And, you know, and boy, oh boy, did I get off track. As I always do, I said, this is going to be a short broadcast, but I guess, you know, the Spirit just comes in and takes control, and away we go. You know, so anyhow, that's who that particular person is. Apollonius of Tyana, in the scripture there, and finding Yeshua is going to be a little bit more of a task. And what I, you know, have prayed on and kind of see in my prayer and my vision that God, you know, gives me in answering is that more than likely this individual was placed, you know, in an unknown grave somewhere, unmarked grave somewhere, just, you know, given a day and time, you know, like they described him in the sepulcher, being wrapped in 100 pounds of herbs and the cloth and different things like that. Well, once they, you know, removed his body, and the reason, you know, you can tell that he didn't, you know, it wasn't a spiritual transformation from that particular spot is because they had to roll the rock back to get to him. You know, had he been spirit, they would not have to roll the rock back in his body, you know, or his spirit would have simply, you know, went to dwell with the Father. And like he said, you know, when he seen his mother, "Don't touch me, woman," you know, and this is quoting, you know, the Bible, "because I have not yet ascended unto the Father." You know, in other words, I haven't died yet. You know, the scripture says he gave up the ghost, you know, and Yeshua said upon the cross that, you know, it is fulfilled. But certainly, you know, and that whole thing right there, like I said, if you look at those people, if you look at who they were, you know, the Essene people, you know, some people say Essene or Essene, of the Nazarene people and look at how they actually and truly lived their lives. They were very heavy people. They were very into the natural living, natural foods. You know, they were vegetarians. They stuck to the scripture. You know, just like they said, the herbs and the different, you know, flowers and plants, you know, shall be ye meat. You know, just like the scripture said, they followed that particular thing and into their belief system. They were very clean people. They wore their robes and stuff to tatters very spiritual, highly, highly spiritual people. But they was also in touch with their bodies in terms of their spirituality and could do miraculous things, you know, with the human body. And even as they put, you know, herbs on, you could tell that they were herbologists. If they put herbs, you know, 100 pounds of herbs, you know, on Yeshua as he lie there in the sepulcher to heal his body from the stab wound that certainly, you know, could have taken his life, but didn't, obviously. You know, they put the herbs on to heal him and to allow him to live longer and, you know, be removed to an unknown, you know, live and do a few more things. You know, like you said, you know, go tell them I died, but I didn't, you know, but go tell them I did, you know, just to put a kind of a misdirection there, if you will. But I have some, you know, find some other things to do before I actually, you know, go to Father. Now it says I got 90 seconds, so love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants to do. Why? Simply because God is love. But I'm going to keep talking, and I may have a few more minutes. But that's what that's all about, you know. And you know, it's all about a healing process, you know, the healing of humanity. We can certainly all, you know, dwell upon this planet together, you know, and in harmony. It's like, you know, people say that I dream of and talk of a utopia. Utopia is possible where intelligence is, you know, one of the key pieces of, you know, the society, you see. And, of course, you know, in the belief system, allowing the freedom of belief, you know, in that system, educating, you know, humanity, you know, of one belief system. This is what the evolution of the one world government or the one world order is all about. And you see this transpiring, you know, even as we speak. But this is what's taking place. You know, now once we evolve to the one world order, a lot of people have already put into place that it's going to be a 666 society, and you know, governed by, you know, evil and all this other kind of stuff. But through this, again, through this information, through this knowledge, and through the intellectual understanding, you know, of prophecy and of fulfillment, it will evolve into a order that is that has God at the cornerstone, or that has the Father at the cornerstone of society, so that we can evolve as an intellectual human race. You see, and we can certainly do that, knowing the truth. You know, this is what will make us free. This is what unlocks the truth, you know, to make us free. Freedom, it simply means, you know, world harmony. That's what the freedom is. It translates to, because it applies to all humanity, and the world, you know, at that particular time is in alignment, you know, with God, with our Creator, and because He created us all. Again, like I said, I directed, you know, folks to go and look at that little piece, The Journey of Man, you know, as he, you know, pertains to on this earth, and how we are all connected and come from one source, one, you know, being. And we all have, you know, one human mother and father, and we all have one spiritual father, you know, so, and perhaps mother. You know, I'm not going to, you know, pull that back, because that, again, that's a, you know, unknown, and in the intellectual evolution, we have to, you know, make way for that as well, you know, so because that's a probability more than a possibility. And, you know, certainly drawing close to a harmonious cohabitation and coexistence. Okay, now, we're going to jump tracks right quick, because I certainly got sidetracked on. The name of this broadcast is A Winning Combination. Now, this thing is shaping up real nice. This is why I don't do, you know, too many broadcasts, but I probably will do more going forward, because I see the big picture here, and it's pretty clear. In returns in the political realm, we got Mr. Trump just landsliding, you know, the Republican, you know, candidacy, and you know, towards a nomination for, you know, president of this great nation, which will never make it. You know, he just won't make it. When they speak of the American people, and I'm like, who are the American people? You know, who are actually the American people? They need to rephrase that. You know, this is something that really, I don't know, I was wanting to bring up. You know, I'm the American people. And I don't believe that, you know, I don't believe in the way that they talk about, and, you know, the American people want this and that. Well, not all the American people want this and that. You know, I certainly don't, and I'm certainly one of the American people. So they probably need to, you know, the ears of influence. You know, you need to really rephrase that, because that's not it. That's an untruth. You know, when you put a widespread, you know, thing like that. Now, what that does subliminally is try to get people to, you know, believe in that way, you know, or believe in that ideology, but it certainly don't work for me. And those that are awake and aware, it's a little agitating, a little painful every time it's said, because it doesn't apply. It's the farthest thing from, you know, being applicable across the, you know, the full spectrum of the American people. You know, so that's just nothing there. But anyhow, Donald Trump, you know, they're pulling out different things right now to, you know, to bring him down. And I literally believe that Donald Trump is not there to become, you know, the president of the United States. I think he's there to disrupt and dismantle the Republican Party. I think that's his objective. And you look at how things are transpiring, you can kind of see it, you know, how he's, you know, taking down Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz is, you know, pretty much, dead in the water, simply, you know. I don't mean that in a negative way, but he certainly is, because of his birthright, you know, where he was born. And he'll never become the president of the United States. Marco Rubio, Donald Trump is, you know, taking him down, calling him Little Marco, and, you know, different things like that, and pretty much, just, you know, busting him apart, you know, subliminally and psychologically, so that when it comes time for the vote, you know, people just can't and won't vote for him. I think Mr. Trump will, at the end of the day, you know, take a hard left turn and go off and to do something else that he's more accustomed to. I mean, the guy is worth billions of dollars, and, you know, yeah, he's you know, made money, lost money, and things of that nature. And but that's business, that's enterprise, that's American. You know, that's how, you know, we do it here in this country, in this great nation. And you know, $400,000 a year as presidential income is more of a pain than a than something that would, you know, help him, you know, because he, I mean, you know, he's worth billions and been through billions, you know. So but there's things that are coming out now, like his no philanthropy. They're going to find in his, you know, doctor, in his documents and things, where he hasn't been philanthropic, having that kind of money, that kind of leverage, and you haven't helped, you know, the lesser man or the middle class or the lower class or something. That's a killer. That's a deal killer. You know, you're making all this money and all that kind of stuff, and you haven't helped, you know, humanity. That's a deal killer. You're going to probably find that he doesn't pay any, if any, you know, very little, if any, taxes. With all that kind of money and movement, and having, you know, paying little or no tax, that means he hasn't, you know, aided in the in the evolution of society monetarily. That's a deal killer. Now they're pulling out that he won't denounce, you know, David Duke and the Ku Klux Klan. You know, he said that he did, and he probably did, but, you know, going forward. And like I say, you can't do it enough, you know, I mean, you know, too much. And obviously, you know, the other day, you know, when he's on CNN, he didn't do that, you know, so that's a deal killer. He's not a Christian, you know, even though he says he is. The Pope is against him, saying that he's not a Christian. That's a huge deal killer. I mean, you know, there's all these different things, you know, there's not, you know, he doesn't get the Hispanic vote, he doesn't get the Black vote, you know, so, I mean, the true American people, you know, all, you know, put together, you know, are not, you know, on, you know, on the Trump bandwagon. But, you know, again, like I say, I don't think that Donald was there to ever be an actual president of the United States. Jumping over to overseas, the opposition is still fighting over in Syria. You got to admire these people. They said they're not up for the ceasefire. They want Al-Assad gone. And he has to go. He's done too much death and destruction. There's no way in the world that this man could stay in power presidency, you know, in Syria and have peace. And I admire the Syrian people, you know, for standing up to in that particular fight. And people don't understand, you know, the jihadist mentality or the holy war mentality. And that's, you know, when they're talking about, you know, random statements by the candidates, you know, talking about carpet bombing and we'll just bomb them. You know, they don't understand, you know, the holy war spirit, and that'll never happen because you never know from where they come from. You know, so that they're speaking of stuff that they don't even know about. So they certainly can't. Hillary knows all this stuff. You know, oh, the winning combination, Hillary Sanders and Bernie, I mean, Hillary Clinton, oh, excuse me, I know you're going to laugh at that, but Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, that's the winning combination. And I think that's what they're setting up here, because nobody really knew who Bernie, I didn't know who Bernie was, you know, until he got all of this publicity by running for president. But I think at the end of the day, Hillary's going to offer him a VP role, a vice president role. And folks, that's going to be a landslide combination there. That's the name of this broadcast, a winning combination. So there's no strange messages here. I think they're setting up the winning ticket there, because those two combined will be a force in this great nation. And, you know, look at the economy, look at the way we live. Everything's coming back, you know, so why change it? You know, why change courses? If you're going in the right way, you know, like I said, if you're liberating this nation, you know, from being, you know, constricted, and we open it up and things are starting to flow, money's starting to flow, people are feeling happy and all that kind of stuff. Why make a course correction? There's no correction necessary. Let's just keep going in the positive trajectory and live, you know, make it happen, you know. And it's all a part of the prophecy being fulfilled and the transformation, you know, of things. And that's what this broadcast is all about. So anyhow, that's my time for today. love one another, take care of one another. It's the right thing to do. It's what God wants us to do. Why? Simply because God is love. Thank you, everybody, for coming out to the broadcast. Keep coming. Tell folks, let's grow this thing. Let's grow this mindset, this idea, this mentality, and make it a better place, you know, for our generations to come. This is what this is all about. So until the next broadcast, so long for now.